This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, big TV star. Up early in the morning.
No, they call me the fill-in king.
No. you're
good,
a Friday baby. Regular, man.
Oh, that is right.
People look forward to seeing Bart Scott get up in the studio, all resplendent, in the studio. And I'm noticing getting a little more and more comfortable, a little more time to talk, give you takes. And you were absolutely hilarious today at times. You had them all laughing, which is the best part.
It's not
like that uncomfortable laugh either. It's more like, no, that's legit funny.
They told me that they finally opened up the suggestion box, and they had a lot of suggestions from you, so I appreciate you for that one. And guess what? We got suggestions for you guys because we want to figure out what the hell is going on, and today is going to be an exciting day. So, Alan, before I'm going to jump the gun, I'm going to give them the number. 1-800-919-3776 is where they can get on the hotline.
Right now.
Is it a buffet? Is it no? Is it a pre-made meal?
No, it's a buffet today because we got a little everything today.
Oh, I didn't know if we wanted to get, you know where you go.
NFL Week 11.
You know when you go to them fancy restaurants and they say what's on the menu and say it's a pre-made menu. This one you gonna eat what the chef feel like cooking today. But I tell you what, we could force feed them a little basketball because I know you're so hot on that today, Alan. I know you're so ready for it. It's so much going on, but this is what I'm worried about. It's always that glimmer of hope. And Knicks fans, they prescribe to the wish recipe, right? So they wish. They wish that this is going to happen. They hope that this is going to happen. They eat the wish sandwich. And sometimes you get the wish sandwich, it comes up empty. But God bless their heart, though. Today we get the wish because free agency is happening. We see guys opting out. Mm. We see veteran players that can impact. We see movement starting to happen. And we know that we got money. And we know we got draft picks.
Well,
those are recipes.
But isn't that the same damn thing as it is every year? That's why it's a wish sandwich. And I'm going to steal that line. Because you have two pieces of bread and you wish there was something in between. You have cap space and you wish you had a player who wanted to take it.
But here's where this wish sandwich can be a hope sandwich. And a hope sandwich is just a little bit better than a wish sandwich. Because you hope that what you saw on draft night, the willing and dealing, the insider information, the sliding up and down the board, getting exactly what you wanted. You hope that you can have a hope sandwich because you have hope. And that's what draft week gave the Knicks fans, gave them hope that they got adults running the organization now, that they hope that they got guys that are respected and have a plan, short term, intermediate, and long term. So maybe we'll see today if it's a hope sandwich or a wish sandwich for 2020 basketball season.
It begins at 6 o'clock, so the wishing and the hoping can still go on for another couple of hours at least, and rumors will abound. They already have involving the Knicks and obviously some pretty big names as well that could get moved. You know, that has been the way this has gone this week in the NBA, but I'm just here to, I can't help it because you just see there's so much hope and anticipation. And at times I feel bad because you have a lot of Knicks fans. And look, your level of desperation is now at 100, or as Bart would tell me to say, 100. Like that's where your level of desperation is at this point. As a fan of a franchise, you're just begging for any type of hope. You felt like draft night wasn't embarrassing. There are some people that want to point out different things about it. That's fine. Nobody's going to be ever 100% happy with a draft. But still, the most part, you feel like, all right, I like. And then yesterday, the preparation day of a couple of moves. The Ed Davis trade, which you're like another forward, but not really. Because it's not about Ed Davis, who's a good vet, good guy to have in a locker room if you keep him. It's a, like a less than $5 million salary. But it's two more draft picks. and it's two futures. So it's two 2023 draft picks. Now, remember on draft night when the Knicks had like the 33 pick and then they decided we don't really want it, so we're going to trade it. And they got a 2023 second rounder. And people are like, why the hell would you want a 2023 second rounder? Well, again, it's just a simple Google. 2023 is a very interesting draft.
Just Google it.
Why? Well, very simple. That's anticipated the first year that they'll go back to allowing the 18-year-olds back into the league, where you can draft the high schoolers. This is a year where now the Knicks have two first rounders and four second rounders. Now you have some capital that is very valuable to a lot of teams. Ability to move up, packaging picks, all that stuff. It could be valuable to you. It's still many years from now, but the point is that those are assets in a draft year that people are looking at as, oh, that's a good year to have picks. Because if you can move up or anything like that, this might be the year to have multiple picks where you take a chance on a high school kid while also getting some college kids. You know what I mean? So the 23 draft, you know, it's smart to have as many assets as you can in that draft. And that's what they're doing here. So it's less about Ed Davis and more about these picks. And Bart, by the way, do you know who also could be draft eligible that year?
Draft eligible?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Shorty.
Baby LeBrick.
It could be Bronny James.
Yeah, Baby LeBrick.
Maybe you could finally get LeBron to come play for the Knicks. Man, I'm just saying. Like, the point is that you have to, like, looking at the moves, they go beyond the move, right? It's not just the face value of it. And so yesterday, that was kind of interesting. The rumors to me, this is where now I'm trying to get people to pump the brakes because, you know, I love Knicks fans. They just get so emotional so quick. And they want to they want all the good news. And I'd love to tell you, I'd love to say to you, Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, today at 6 o'clock, or 6 o'clock Eastern, the Jazz can now offer him his max extension off his rookie deal. It starts at 6 o'clock today. They can do that. Like Giannis. Giannis will get his max extension. So 6 o'clock today, you can make that offer. I'd love to say, you know, I'm here and Donovan doesn't want to take the max and he not sure he wants to stay in Utah. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. I'm trying to get that. Because when you're telling me, like, you know, the Knicks are targeting, you know, Davis Bertans, I'm like, all right, that's fine. You know, I'm not here for that kind of stuff. Like, if you want that kind of stuff, just wait till they do it. Like, do you really need me to give you that in advance? Like, I'm going to tell you about Davis Bertans, that I'm going to tell you that hey, they might, you know, bring back, you know, Danilo Gallinari. Like, is that what you're here for? No, you're here for something that's earth-shattering, that's going to shake a franchise. So if I had that, I'd tell you.
So maybe like Hayward going back to Utah and them saying, okay, we're going to lose Donovan Mitchell, then he's not going to Utah.
Indiana's where Gordon wants to go.
I'm wishing.
Well, look, I that's the stuff. See, I'm looking
for that. Does that make Oladipo want to stay? Because now you think about Turner.
Do you get involved? Well, how about this part? Do you get involved in any way? Because, again, remember, Oladipo is an expiring. Do you get involved with Boston in a three-way sign-and-trade type thing where you end up getting Oladipo?
Listen, I can menage and twat my face off. I just don't know. Can we do three? Can we afford three?
We always can, Rico. But, you know, the other thing is maybe Boston would want to have Oladipo as part of them because they could use some scoring. There's a lot of thoughts to this. There's a lot of thoughts to it. I will say this, the Hayward stuff that's out there that people are asking me about, like you just did, Gordon Hayward, it's an awkward fit if you ask me. But if I'm coaching this team, I want some talent and I want some vets. So if I'm the front office, Gordon doesn't really fit my timeline right now, especially if I have to give him. He just walked away from $34 million. You think he's taking 18?
Yeah, he won't.
So obviously, I don't know if that fits the timeline. But if I'm a coach, I'm looking at my roster going, I have a bunch of guys who are 22 and under and no vets. I kind of need somebody that can put the ball in the basket. I need somebody who knows what they're doing. So it all depends on who wins that argument between those two with a guy like Hayward. But I'm not buying into that. And I already told you about Fred VanVleet. Are you ready to give him $117 million over 4 years?
Yeah.
You are? Some people are, some people aren't.
You know what? I don't know.
I mean, you got to get somebody. And when you're the Knicks, you unfortunately always have to overpay. And that's okay.
Why?
Because you have to overpay once.
That's the problem. Why? See, here's
because
what we're learning
is... if you get somebody for a discount, they're going to have flaws. But so, like, you don't if you get somebody that depends to choose you, then there's going to be flaws.
You
so
don't need to do that now. If you're not going to do the Russell Westbrook thing, which it doesn't sound like they are. That's the conversation from last week. That sort of it's no longer on the front burner, from what I understand. That third year was really the hiccup.
Okay,
it's again something that if I'm a coach, I want it, but if I'm a front office, I don't. Right, and that's the eternal battle: win now or win later.
So Russell contract is how much over 3 years? If 47 is the last one.
Yeah. It's like 143.
So if you're getting Van Fleet at 117 for 4 years, that's a discount to me. That's like a little bit over.
Well, it's half.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
If you think about it per year, it's almost, well, not half, but about 60% of it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So if you're looking at that, he checks all the boxes, right? He has his championship. He's a guy that feels like he should be a star, wants to lead his own team. Mm-hmm. He wants to be the face of a franchise. He wants to become a global brand. And right now, it's all about him winning and proving that he can win away from the guys that are the true leaders on that team, which is Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry's getting old, too, again. And if I'm Toronto, are you ready to let him walk? And I don't know. But I wouldn't mind. Again, Toronto's a rival of mine. I wouldn't mind it. I have the money. I'd rather just put the pressure on Toronto. Make them lock him up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And if you end up getting him, you get him. But it's up to Fred VanVleet to want to come here. But I sure as hell know he'd want to at least use me as leverage to get what he wants to stay in Toronto, right?
Right.
But maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's like, you know what? I'm in T.O., kind of nobody.
He's got
like, I think I can have a bigger profile. I do have a lot of people like me around this league. If I go to New York and I'm part of this young group, he's only 26. If I'm part of this younger group and I become more of that leader, if I can emerge here with these guys, how does my profile go up even more? He might be thinking that's about all that stuff.
That's why I left the Ravens. To be honest, Ravens. I left the Ravens because I wanted to have an opportunity to lead my own team.
Because you felt like you were under the shadow there because of the big names on the defense.
Yeah, no matter what I was going to, no matter what I did, it was always going to be because Ray led me, or he led me to do it. He inspired me. He made me believe. I'm like, no. I'm my own person, right? So I don't want to be little Ray Lewis, or you know, in his eyes, he doesn't want to be little Kyle Lowry, right? Because no matter what, he's the native son. You know, he was the homegrown product. He's the guy that they gave credit to for that championship, not because Van Fleet played his ass off, not because he made big timely shots, not because he emerged and he played the biggest when the lights were the brightest. Mm-hmm. So he might say, you know what? Nobody knows me over here, man. This is Canada. You know, how far spaced out major cities are away from each other. I want to be on TV. I want to go to New York and make a name for myself, because guess what? I think that maybe this Toronto team is past their window, as we're going to lose Siakam. Maybe they're going to lose Serge Ibaka. They're going to start losing some pieces. Kyle Lowry's getting older. I'd rather go here where expectations are low and I can exceed expectations when I go to New York, because I got a young team that I can be the leader of. They're going to look to me with that gleam in their eyes. I'm going to be the only one there on that team with a championship. They're going to believe in me. They're going to say, hey, how do you get it done? And I'm going to get all the credit for what everybody else does. And, man, it's New York. It can set me up for life after sports. It can set me up for life, you know, and make me a national brand. If I can get them to the playoffs, you know, I'll be shining and I'll make all this money and endorsements and all the business connections I can make. Those are real conversations that I would be having if I'm Leon Rose and talking.
It's a great perspective. No, from your, because you are very relatable to him. Undrafted players who became stars. You became a Pro Bowler despite the fact you were undrafted, and then was drafted onto a team with a lot of stars already on that defense, and yet you emerged as one, and easily could have stayed there to be part of that culture that is obviously a winning culture and had success and would have been fine. But you wanted to chase your own dream and your own way, and you obviously followed a coach that you knew very well. So all that stuff's relatable, but I also do think that Toronto would be crazy to let him go. Mm-hmm. And I do think, for everything that I've seen, they plan to prioritize him, but there still is that question of, what does prioritize mean to you? You know, like, is prioritize, we're going to give you the amount of money that you think you're worth, that's more than another place? Yeah, and then obviously it leaves it up to Fred VanVleet to see, you know, would a team like the Knicks want him? Now, I don't even know. Like, here's the other thing. I'm not even sure that the Knicks look at VanVleet as, that's where we want to put all our money, but I don't know if I think they have to find some guys who are veteran players who can at least provide cover for this young team without taking over.
Right.
I just think
this isn't a supermax, though, Alan. This isn't that crazy, absurd contract.
No, it's not. Actually, you think about it, relatively speaking, it's fairly reasonable, and he'll be 30 when it's over. It's not like he's past his prime. He's right in his prime.
And here's the issue and the fine line that Toronto has to walk. You don't want to offend Kyle Lowry where the fact where you give this guy way more money than him, he's like, I'm the leader on this team, because then he's going to ask to re-up. He's going to be uncomfortable with his contract. So if you're the Knicks, you just push it slightly to a number where it makes it uncomfortable for Van Fleet to walk in there and be the highest paid player in that locker room. And then you got guys like Lowry and Siakam, Siakam saying, hold on, I'm a little bit better than him.
Yeah.
There's no way that they should be making more money than me. It's kind of like that conversation that Revis had with Bill Belichick when he was like, hey, man, Bill, I want $15 million or $16 million. He's like, Tom makes 10. Like, what? He's like, you know what? I know I ain't going to be here.
that's great. Well, I mean, that's a great point, though. And that's how you always do it. When you have a great player on your team, undisputed great player, and he takes less, it ruins it for everybody.
Because
whenever you're trying to get paid, you're always like, are you better than him?
Yeah.
Then you're not getting that. Like, that's like, you're not going ahead of him. If he's taking less, everybody's taking less.
Larry makes 20. Like,
each. That's like, awesome.
Ain't Larry.
800-919-3776. Let's get the calls involved in this. We do have to talk. Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but the Jets didn't play last week, but they are going to play this week. So
the New York Jets.
And when you heard what Mark Sanchez said in relation to how he can relate to Sam Darnold and something he said just earlier this week, real interesting. Now, you guys were together on Get Up this morning. We wanted to have him on, but he felt bad. He had to get on a plane.
Yeah.
He's getting out of town, so unfortunately he can't join us live.
But he does college football.
Yeah, so again, we had some Jets and NFL. Blitzer Prevent will do at noon, and we've got four games, must-watch. Week 11.
That's cute.
That's awesome. And we want to get calls involved in this as well. And as we hear rumors and what's going on and everything with the Knicks, I invite you to call in and ask me directly, because there's so many. I cannot respond to all the tweets. It's hard to. And I know so many of you had questions, and there's some things that are just, I can't answer them.
One business thing, call in the show. Yeah, one business thing we have to take care of, though, because we didn't tell them where the tweet is at. So it's at Barton Hahn.
That's cool.
And then Instagram is at Barton Hahn. Mm-hmm. And Bill, tell them where the hell else they can do
it. Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
Totally forgot about that. My bad. All right, let's get the calls. You know what? We have James in Spring Valley. He's been on hold for 72 hours.
Wow.
That's a record.
That is actually a long record. 72 hours, but hey, you guys made me want it. I apologize for yesterday. I got to wait my turn. I don't want to be prioritizing taking all the other callers. So sorry, other callers. My apologies. And sorry to you, Alan and Bart.
Well, it's all good. You know how we know you're on hold? I don't have to look at the call screen. I just get 800 tweets from you and the other guys that are in your
and
podcast.
And Big Steve, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
It's all good. What's up?
Because I'm so thirsty right now.
I do have a question. I think Bart can answer this. Obviously, I think you guys heard the Giants just had three more players tested positive for COVID. I'm Kurt Pettis and Caden Smith.
Right.
So my big concern is with this COVID outbreak. I know the NFL has been chugging along and doing what they can, but now you're seeing cases rising up and total calls being up. How is this going to affect going forward? And locally, how is it going to affect the Giants? Because Pert has been a big part of that offensive line since Colombo is gone. So now you got Gooks coming in, and now Pert's not going to be playing likely against Cincinnati. Well, how is it going to affect the Giants?
You got
a big part of that line.
You got it. They don't play this week, so that helps.
Right.
And so I don't think it's going to be an issue for the next game. I just think for right now, it's something that they're dealing with. But Bart, has the league has just kind of endured through this. Like, it's almost, I don't want to equate it to like when somebody gets a PED suspension.
Right.
But when we start getting these COVID things, like Myles Garrett, he will miss this weekend's game. Now, that's a big deal for the Browns. He will miss this weekend's game. And if you're a Giants fan, it matters to you as well. But so that affects them immediately because he won't be able to play. But it feels like the league is just kind of taking it and moving forward. Like, okay, it's happening, but we just keep going forward. It's like what Rocky says at the beginning of our show.
Yeah, exactly. They're figuring out ways, and you also have the Raiders as well that's dealing with it. They've dealt with it a couple of times this year, and they isolate the player, and because they kind of separate them a lot, and they're not players aren't really together a lot in practice. You haven't seen this mass spread, even though when we had the scare about the kid, I think the guy Brown from the Raiders who was the one who got the air in the IV and all that stuff.
Right.
Even with that, he didn't infect anybody else because they kind of keep everybody away from each other. And even then, when you talk about the lockers, they got the plexiglass that you heard Aaron Rodgers talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So like you try and limit the exposure. And they've done a good job of that. And, you have to be prepared if you're a team this year to potentially have to play without one or two players. Because we saw it happen with Stephen Gilmore. We saw it happen with Cam Newton. It's going to happen to the best of them. That's why it's incumbent on everybody being respectful and responsible when it comes to making sure that you're doing all the proper things and going through the proper protocols.
It's like the show must go on. That's essentially how the NFL has handled it, and it's gotten them already to week 11. Now they have to get obviously to the finish line, but the NBA is already ready to start as football will be heading into their playoffs. So the NBA has gone through a bubble, and now they're going to be going through the same thing as well as they travel and play in arenas. Jose is in the Bronx. Jose,
hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
All right, so I'm going to stay with the Knicks for a quick second, man. I was listening yesterday, and you guys were talking about Obi Toppin and how he's not that good defensively. But in his college career, he averaged 1.4 blocks.
Rim protection,
and
1.6
steals.
Yeah, but the knock, we were saying yesterday, Jose, the knock on him has been his ability to defend as an NBA defender, which means you're not just going to meet people at the rim. It's also about defending on the perimeter, switching off. Do you get caught in pick and roll? As Bart and I have talked about, when you're a bad offensive lineman, and Chris Canty told me this, and I love the saying, you're the fish. They fight over who gets to go up against you, and they just because they know you're easy, right? You're easy to get past him and get to the quarterback. The same thing happens in the NBA. Right. You find the bad defender, and you do all the switches until you get him one-on-one on your best offensive player, and you destroy him. And you don't want that to happen to Obi Toppin. So can you fix it? We had his college coach on who also talked about his defense. And I talked to Obi draft night about the same exact thing, and he admitted it too. That, yeah, I know it's a knock on me, and it's something I have to prove and I got to work on. So it's just something that was part of the there's always a negative about every player, and that's the drawbacks on him. That's the con on drafting him is the concern about his ability to defend at this level. But there's no concern about his ability to score at this level. People believe he will be a guy that can get buckets, so you'll live with it.
Right. Okay, I got one more quick thing to take. I don't want to take too much of you guys' time.
Go for it.
Now, Carmelo Anthony to the Knicks again? Why not?
Only if they, I don't see Melo coming here on his own.
Another forward.
The only way you sign him is if there's a couple of other vets that would be here that would allow him to come in as an extra instead of, let's put it this way. And thanks for the call, Jose. Bart, if the Knicks really don't do anything major here, like if I told you like maybe Bertans, maybe something like that. Either Bertans or Portis comes back and they find a guard, like, just a run of the mill, right? Guard.
Rondo.
Whatever. No, not even Rondo. Like a whatever. Melo coming in would be the biggest name. And everybody then would say, oh, Carmelo. And then it's the worst thing for him.
Yep.
I think he's got to come in here as an extra piece, and then it's a different story. But if he comes to the Knicks and he's the biggest name, that makes that brings too much attention to him. And then we go back to the same thing. Melo's saving the Knicks, the savior. And he's not. He's not that at this point in his career. So I'd love to see him finish it here, but that's not in that way because you know what that narrative would become, and I'm trying to avoid that. I did not fix the headphone issue that I've got going on here, Bart. I'm not happy about it. But I did get,
though,
we've got tremendous listeners, and I want to shout out the right people. Because as I showed my broke down beats, that I think that they've lasted 5 years. 5 years is a pretty good run when you think about I use them 5 days a week. So you'd say 5 years is a pretty good run for studio headphones, right?
Depends on your wear and tear. Are you a neat guy?
No, I don't treat things.
You're hard on them. You're hard on them. Yeah.
Phrasing.
That's not really appropriate to ask, but okay.
You beat it up, right? I mean, beat them up, right?
Phrasing.
I don't know if that's really the way I'd want to put it either. Making me very uncomfortable right now. So I want to shout out Mario though, because Mario sent me a message saying that I need to get some Sennheisers.
Oh.
And I wasn't aware of Sennheisers, and I looked them up, and they
get off my lawn.
Is it that bad? Are they like old man headphones? Studio headphones. I mean, they're pretty good. But then I got also another message. And I just, like I said, I want to make sure I get... These are all listeners of ours, and they're awesome. And his name was Jay. It's only Jay, but Jay Johnson Peralta. And he told me about... he was trying to get me to go get like Apple headphones, which I told him we kind of need them to be wired. So then he told me about Bose. So now I'm kind of going back and forth. Do I stick with Beats? Do I go with the Sennheisers and like lay out extra cash?
Yeah.
Or do I go with the Bose?
It's whoever's going who gonna put some respect on our name, put some respect on the title of his name, put some respect on our followers and our listeners that will support sponsor? The company that support the company that support the Barton Hahn Show, because like we that. The hottest thing in since sliced bread, and we listen, y'all just don't know yet.
Is that what it is? They just don't know. I don't know, but like I never,
truth.
I never used to think about this stuff. Headphones are headphones, just whatever's available. Like that used to be the way at the studio. You just whatever was available, and then you realize that I'm putting something on my ear that somebody else was putting on their ear, and that's gross.
It's like, hey,
I got my own. They were a gift, and so they were Beats, and they were really good studio Beats, and they were great. And they broke. I got to get new ones, and I've never had to shop for headphones before, which is why I'm just looking for some intel. You know what I'm saying?
Long since not the one with the styrofoam over the top. Remember the old school plug in? It had like the microphone cover.
So I just get the Walkman, the old 80s Walkman ones, when they turn color after a while. Because
exactly. They start turning like that light, the black start turning brown.
that's kind of gross, too. Right, it's a Friday here in New York City. By the way, a week
it's effing Fridays.
It is. And a week from now, we're Thanksgiving break.
That's crazy. That's crazy. We got Thanksgiving off, right?
Yes, we do. Don't we? Do we have that Friday off, too?
Oh, maybe we're requesting it right now. I don't know.
Yeah. Are you on Get Up that Friday morning? You better not be. If Greeny's there on Get Up on Friday morning, I'd be shocked.
You know, he's a
workaholic, so maybe
I'm the others. It's only 2 hours. I think I am. I think I'm on Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know if I'm on
Friday. After Thanksgiving is the sleep-in, is the greatest sleep-in day ever.
I tell you what, my wife makes the greatest thing was she makes this like mac and cheese, like 35,000 different cheese in it. Like if it feels it's the most dense thing.
Not three cheese mac and cheese, it's like 8,000 cheese mac and cheese.
It probably weighs about 110 pounds. That's how heavy it is. I don't know what is in there. Ooh. But then she also makes this sage dressing. And I've always loved it. I don't know how she make it, where she got the recipe from. But, you know, the sage sauce, she puts sage sausage inside of it. So as you're eating sage sauce, the dressing or stuffing, depending on who you are, what part of the country you grew up in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eating the sage sausage inside, it's got this smoky, earthy, like, taste of the sage, and you're chewing the meat of the sausage, like the Italian sausages. You know, those are the days where I, like, you know, I remember why I married you.
Those are the days?
You know what I'm saying?
Now, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. That's why we talked about yesterday. I won't go too deep into it. I never understand LaGreca's rant about turkey on Thanksgiving.
Set tripping.
I love turkey.
It's what makes it special. If you get it all the time, then you don't appreciate it. That's why I don't go to Boston Market all the time, because I ain't supposed to eat no damn turkey and gravy, but only twice, three, four times a year. Max.
It's an effort. And everybody's telling me yesterday, they were tweeting at me about how all you have to do is fry it. It's real easy. Oh, yeah, because we all have, like, these gigantic fryers in our house that are just so convenient. Let me just throw it in the fryer for a while I go walk the dogs.
And some peanut oil. Where am I going to get 2 gallons of peanut oil?
What are you talking about? Who's got time for that? I mean,
It's like with that, like, we got probably, what, probably about 100 million people out of the world that probably live in apartment complexes. Or let's be conservative. 75 million people out of 300 million people that live in America, they can't cook. a turkey. They can't use a turkey fryer. And don't tell me this old electrical bull crap.
By the way, how many restaurants
work and it can't handle a big one?
How many restaurants do you go to where it's like on the menu is turkey?
Only one is Popeyes. You can order only during Thanksgiving.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, but that's because it's Thanksgiving. That's the point. Like, Arby's doing the same thing. I'm just saying, like, in general, when you go to a restaurant, you'll get your steaks, right? You'll have different chicken. You'll have seafood. You'll have your pasta. That you never see turkey.
Only at State
it's
Fair.
Special.
Only place you get is State Fair. And that's horrible.
Turkey legs. Oh, oh yeah, baby.
And Disney World.
All right, let's get to this again. We got calls to get to as well, but I want to get to this as well. This is from... I want to get the name right. It's the Gang's All Here podcast, New York Post. Brian Costello does a good job, even though he's on the other station. I don't care. I like him. He's a good beat writer. But it's your boy Mark Sanchez, and he's talking about how he can relate to what Sam Darnold's going through, and he takes it a little step further. Take a listen to this.
I feel like it's pretty similar circumstances with, you know, new coaching staffs and new general managers. A lot of moving parts around him, and that's, you know, usually a recipe for disaster in this league. The idea is to get, you know, some continuity, some consistency with your playmakers around you. One, you got to get the playmakers, then you got to keep them for a while or as long as you possibly can with all the free agency moves and contracts and all that. But part of it, you know, is there's just nothing working in their favor right now, right? I mean, it's not a, you know, real veteran group. It's not guys who played together for a long time. And there isn't just a star-studded cast that kind of can figure it out or just use their talent and make plays, right? So it's really the triple threat in the wrong direction. So they, you know, they have a ton of room to grow, and they have some picks coming up here that look like, you know, this could be the spot, whether Gase is the answer or they move in a different direction, you know, who knows? But there's just so much uncertainty that it's, you know, it's almost impossible for a quarterback to have success with all those circumstances.
So he's laying it out there for Sam that it's just all working against you, and that maybe, you know, he goes on to say maybe it's best for Sam to just move on.
Yeah,
you know, if they're gonna get Trevor Lawrence anyway, you know what? Just tell him, get me out of here.
And, you know, but they may not be able to get him out here as quickly as possible because his draft value isn't high enough. And Mark had to live with this. You know, I think one of the crazy things that he said was getting weapons and keeping weapons. Because remember, at the height of Mark Sanchez, he had Dustin Keller, tremendous catching pass receiving tight end. He had Leon Washington. He had Braylon Edwards. He has Santonio Holmes. Then what happened is they had to make a decision. Do we keep Santonio or do we keep Braylon? They let Braylon go, and then Braylon was the heartbeat because he was not only dominating in the receiving game, he was a tremendous run blocker. So when Mark lost that, then it put more on Mark's shoulders because we weren't getting the averages in the running game that we needed or we were accustomed to getting to put him in favorable down and distances so that he continued to struggle. And then the lasting image of Mark is him throwing to Stephen Hill and then some other dudes that I had never heard of before.
Yeah.
You know, down the field.
Got your bad draft picks who didn't pan out, obviously. And also
right. All on the defensive side of the ball, too.
But I'll tell you, and there was a lot of defensive draft picks as well in a row there. But I wish we could have gotten Mark on. And he felt terrible he couldn't come on with us. But I feel like it's not the same thing because at least Mark stepped into a situation where...
Yeah, he stepped into the best situation.
It was a veteran group around him, and he could grow and just kind of... They didn't need a lot from him. Things fell apart when they just didn't do the right thing. You've got to be able to manage your roster, and they did a bad job of managing the roster. That's all it was. Guys got older. You moved on from some of the vets. You had to replace them. You didn't do a good job of it, and the draft didn't help you either. So it's not the same thing. Sam was drafted into this and was waiting for them to build around him, and they haven't done it. Yeah. And now they're ready to move on from him, mainly not to his fault or anybody else. It's just when you get the number one pick and the quarterback coming out of college might be better than the guy you have, of course you draft that guy. Of course you do. So, again, they could win a couple of games here and screw it up. Jacksonville plays this weekend as well.
They play Steelers, so good luck with that.
Yeah, well, you never know. Another trap game for the Steelers, of course. But you know, bottom line is that I don't think it's the same. But it isn't easy for Sam. And now you're watching, if you're a Jets fan, you're watching a couple other young guys, but it's not Sam. We're still not watching Sam. We're at week 11, and we really haven't seen a lot of him this season again. And that's, I think, starting to build up to a frustration. I don't think fans have been able to connect to Sam Darnold as our guy. He's been here 3 years, and I don't feel like I've watched him nearly enough.
Yeah, that's true.
So he hasn't been available, and so I don't have an emotional connection to him because I just haven't seen him play enough to feel like that's our guy. And so because I'm ready to move on from him only because I don't even know what I got. So that's a little bit different than what Mark was talking about. Let's grab one call here real quick. We got a bunch of calls. I want to get to as many as I can. Let's go. Edwin in Tribeca. Edwin.
Hey, happy football Friday, guys.
What's happening, Edwin?
Friday night Knicks. Happy Friday night Knicks. Hopefully we get something
good. Beginning of the turnaround, baby.
We'll see.
I just want to ask Bart a question before I get into the Knicks. Bart, with the additions this week, who should I look out for with the Jets picking up a couple of positions this week?
Are you talking about for fantasy and something like that?
Oh, I'm sorry, for the Jets.
Yeah, but you're talking about fantasy, right? Who should you pick up?
Oh, no. I'm talking about they picked up, I believe, a position or two.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you want to see is you want to watch Bryce Hall and see if he can be that lockdown, shutdown corner. You want to see if Mims continues to grow. And this week, I'm really concerned, or I really want to see if Flacco, who got Perriman involved, who got Mims involved, can he start to take advantage, I believe, of the best receiver that they have right now, and that's Crowder. Let's see if they can enter. He can get all those guys involved. That's going to be the key, because they're going to have to, you know, put up points against this like efficient, effective passing game from Herbert. So you can't just say we're going to run the ball, try and win an ugly game. This game's going to be a bit of a shootout. To do that, they're going to have to open up the playbook. They're going to have to take a lot of shots down the field and get some easy scores, because Bosa on one side, you want to see Bosa. It's crazy, right? Because Mekhi Becton's been hurt off and on this season. But I think anybody that looks at him knows that he's one of the best tackles in the game. And so this whole push for him going to the Pro Bowl, if he adds Bosa and Ingram to that list of guys that he just shut down and stifled, he'll get that vote. And we'll have something really to celebrate around here. You'd never want to beat a team with no Pro Bowlers.
Thanks, Evan. We got to run here to a break. Appreciate you. Blitz or Prevent? Let's go.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
I'm going to start with that game since we were talking about it. Let's go ahead and start with that game. So Falcons at Saints. Falcons at 3-6. They played a lot better since Raheem Morris took over. Their defense better, everything else. Saints at 7-2. It's a 1 o'clock game, and the Saints are favored by 4. I believe it's still 4, right? Has the line moved? Because now that they've made the announcement official, so it did move? What's the line now? Do we know? All right, we'll check. So anyway, Drew Brees out, as we know. Sean Payton announced this morning that his Wildcat slash specialist, Taysom Hill,
right,
who has made 5 passing attempts all season, he's going to start instead of Jameis Winston, who was 6-for-10 with 63 yards passing Sunday against the 49ers after Brees was injured. Winston was brought in to back up Brees and perhaps be groomed to replace him, right? So Winston is in a weird place in his career now. I mean, 6 years after being the number one pick, 1 year after he threw for a career-high 5,100 yards and 33 touchdowns at the age of 25, he was replaced by a 43-year-old.
Yeah, well,
and then he was relegated to backing up another 40-year-old quarterback. All right, I'm talking about two of the greats here of all time, obviously, yeah. Brady and Brees. But Winston also threw incredible 30 interceptions last year, so I get it.
Don't now, beat the 12 fumbles.
Yeah, now the Falcons are a different team, like I said. And New Orleans needs this win, with or without Brees. It's a curious decision. So Blitz or Prevent, I can't believe Peyton chose Hill over Winston. But does this say something about their future? Will they need to get into the quarterback market this offseason?
Not at all. And then, come on, man, this is the biggest pump fake ever. This is talking about, you know, putting your teammate in banana, I mean, making your opponent the banana in the tailpipe. Because technically, if Taysom Hill takes the first snap, whether it's a shot down the field, it's going to be some gadget shot down the field where they think it's going to be a run, they're trying to get a cheap touchdown, or, you know, he hands the ball off. We all know that, so you know, Jameis Winston's first coming right in afterwards. So
this is the first series. So is he an opener? Is this like a Tampa Bay Rays thing?
Exactly. He's an opener. This is what they're trying. And Sean Payton's just trying to screw with people and make them prepare for that, have to prepare for all this option, triple option, wildcat type of offense. And then they're just going to play Jameis Winston and let him in. Because guess what? If you believed in Taysom Hill, who you gave $17 million, you never even bring Jameis Winston in. That third quarterback would have been somebody that was making zero. He would have been a guy that was young and somebody that was holding a clipboard, not a capable backup to replace Drew Brees. Last year, how much did they believe in Taysom Hill last year when Drew Brees got hurt and they they brought in Teddy Bridgewater. So don't give me that whole stuff. It's going to be a combination of two. He's going to have his gadget plays. And I always, you know, I was on the phone with, we're on the show today, and Rossini was talking all this stuff. They believe that he's this quarterback. Bro, the dude is 30. At this point, the dude is 30 years old.
I heard you. At
when I was 30, I was in my eighth or ninth year. So if this dude ain't started for nobody else but you, if he only throw him five passes this year, all of a sudden, he ain't got no Steve Young future. They look at him like Steve Young. Yeah, right. If you had Steve Young, you would never bring in Jameis Winston or Teddy Bridgewater. You would just start damn Steve Young. So miss me with all this Taysom Hill. He's great. He's Tim Tebow at best, or Brad Smith at best. Let's quit trying to act like this dude's some type of super quarterback. He's a gadget guy. He's a situational football player. Jameis Winston is playing for his future of his career. He is a good quarterback. He just messed up in the head sometimes. He's trying to eat wins, and he's eating L's and eating I's, which is INTs, because that's what he's throwing. So if the, you know, this is an interesting game. This is my upset of the week. I know I roll with the Falcons all this time, but I'm rolling with them again because they're playing a lot better, and we know that they can put up points. If they want to play this dink and dunk, try and make Taysom Hill come down and kill you death by a thousand paper cuts, then go ahead with it, because guess what? Matty Ice going to be going deep to Julio Jones, going deep to Ridley, going deep to Hayden Hurst. So you're going to have to, you know, get Jameis back in his comfort zone. He's going to have to drop back and let that thing fly. And if he does that, is it the good Jameis or is it the bad Jameis? Just like you got Fitz Magic, Fitz Tragic, you got Jameis and you got Sheamus.
Yeah, you were on fire this morning on Get Up. That's the reason why I put this game into Blitzer Prevent. I was hoping that I'd get that same energy, and I did. You didn't let me down. I love it. Now, keep your level right where it is as we continue. The next game is Packers, who are 7-2 at Colts, 6-3, a 4:25 kickoff. Colts favored by just a game, a point and a half, I should say. So it's an important game for both teams in the standings, obviously. But some players just need to find that extra motivation. And Colts linebacker Darius Leonard apparently has found his. Have you heard this? Leonard said he's been looking forward to facing Aaron Rodgers ever since he found out that Rodgers called the 49ers' Fred Warner the best linebacker in the NFL after the two games they had. They have two teams played on week 9 this season. So Leonard said this, quote, "You hear things like that, and it gives you extra motivation going to play. Rodgers has been in the league for a long time. For him to say that about Fred Warner, they play sometimes twice a year. So my first time, I want to leave a mark and hopefully change his mind on what he said about that." Based on the stats, he's got a point. Okay, you think about it. Leonard has 23 more tackles, 10 more sacks, 4 more forced fumbles, and 4 more interceptions in his career than Warner, who also entered the league in 2018 while playing 7 fewer games. So, Blitzer Prevent, I know your background as an undrafted D1 AA you-know-what made you like this too. You were the same kind of guy that just needed a reason to rip someone's head off.
Yeah.
Is Leonard right?
Leonard's a habitual line stepper, first of all, and I think he has taken the mantle from Bobby Wagner as the best middle linebacker in the game. It ain't even close. So, you know, for him to say that, it's disrespect to Leonard, who's fueled by the disrespect, fueled by the hate. And I think that he's going to go out and put out a show, and the fact that Devontae Adams could be hurt. Remember that the Colts bring in the number one defense. I know we make all these glowing remarks and, you know, give all the roses and flowers to Pittsburgh, but the number one defense resides in Indianapolis. So, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a full dose of that. And the problem is, on the other side, their defense, Aaron Rodgers' defense, they can't stop the run. You know, I understand they're a little bit better, but they missed the opportunity, I believe, to go make a trade for Avery Williamson and get a hammer in the middle, because right now they trying to get a nail in with one of those Power Wheel hammers that's plastic. You know, they ain't gonna push no nail, drive no nail through the wood. You got to go get something else. You do better going out trying to find a brick or a rock to knock that nail through, because right now it's like Harlem Nights when they were shooting that quick. And they were shooting an assault rifle. You had to do shooting a little 38. Quit shooting that little stuff. You know, that's what the middle linebackers for the Green Bay is doing. They shoot that little stuff, man. And I think that Leonard's going to take this energy, and he's going to energize his entire team with any form of disrespect.
And you just love that. You love a guy that just looks for any reason. Like, give me something that's going to put a little extra motivation.
Alvin Mack.
He found it.
Alvin Mack.
He's got those rabbit ears. There's no question about it. All right, next game. Chiefs at 8-1 against the Raiders at 6-3. It's a Sunday night game. And the Chiefs, talk about disrespect, they are favored as the road team by 8. So,
excuse me.
Yeah, hang on. I'm getting there. Can the Raiders get the season sweep?
Vegas, remember, handed, as Bart was about to point out, handed KC their only loss of the season back in week five. How about this? The last time the Raiders were able to sweep Kansas City was 2012. That was the year before Andy Reid arrived in KC. Carson Palmer was the Raiders quarterback in both games. Mm-hmm. And remember the mighty Brady Quinn, speaking of? He was the Chiefs starting quarterback in both those games. This time around, however, Andy Reid is there. Patrick Mahomes is there. They are coming off a bye week, plenty of time to prepare. And basically, you have a bad Raiders pass defense that they can pick apart if they want to. Here's a stat. Andy Reid is 18-3 coming off a bye. But while we'll focus on Mahomes and his greatness, the other quarterback in this game, Bart, needs some respect on his name, too. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr on pace for over 3,800 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, while completing 69% of his throws, and also the passer rating career high at 107, quarterback total QBR 76. He's on pace for even a career high in rushing yards at 210. And that's what his production actually going down a little bit over the last couple of games, which they've won. So, blitz or prevent, statement game for the Raiders. Andy Reid sounded annoyed, speaking of motivation, about the Raiders' buses taking a victory lap around Arrowhead after their Week 5 win. Gruden blamed it on a, quote, smart aleck bus driver. Divisional, you want emotion, but I want the Raiders to back it up. Can they?
I think they can because, listen, this is a team that's built in the image of Al Davis and how he liked his teams built. Like I said during the show on Get Up, I like my linemen with Segalite, and they got old-school fat linemen that rolled off the football, and they make it a long day. They're not coming out here with all these fancy RPO stuff. They're coming downhill, hitting you in the mouth, and that's exactly what they did in the first game against the Chiefs. They put up, you know, you think about Josh Jacobs and what he put up. He put up 75 yards. They had about 130 yards rushing downhill, but listen, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, because if you look at that first game as well, they went out and they got the same exact weapons that you think about in Kansas City, where they went out and they got the fastest guy in the game in Ruggs, right? That's their Tyreek Hill. Then they say, you know what? We need Nelson Aguilar. He may not be able to catch, but he can run. And so they went out and got him too. And then they say, okay, Kelsey's a great tight end. Let's go out and get us one. They got Darren Waller, who's one of the best young tight ends in the game. So they're able to stretch the field and expose this average, very average Chiefs defense.
Yes.
And I think that's the, you know, you think about the first game, they held the ball, the time of possession, by almost 15 minutes. They had 35 minutes in time of possession, keeping Mahomes off the field. And they got explosive plays, a 72-yard touchdown pass to Ruggs to exploit that defense. So this is going to be interesting. And let's not overlook the little rivalry, the sibling rivalry that is the ones that started with, Holmgren. They all started, you know, Reed and Gruden started on, yes, Holmgren's staff in Green Bay, and they've always been dubbing who's the smartest, you know, geniuses when it comes to the offense. And right now, you can say that it's pretty even though that Andy Reid's probably won more games. He's been a head coach longer. John Gruden took a time off, a nice little hiatus. But at the end of the day, they both got one Super Bowl win, and now they're in the same division. So let's play it out on the football field.
Should be interesting, and I love the emotion, even this pettiness of just taking the bus around the building. Like, stuff like that is great. Keep an eye on that game for sure. All right, last but not least, this doesn't sound like a big game or any importance, but locally, I think it will be. Eagles at 3-5-1, at Browns at 6-3. 1 o'clock, Browns at home, favored just by 3. This game carries a lot of weight for both teams. For the Eagles, it's obvious. They have to get out of this funk. And they got to keep themselves from being pulled into the NFC East abyss, dragged down into the muck and mire with the rest of the dregs of this division. Carson Wentz also feeling more heat. He can rest a little bit easier knowing Myles Garrett will not play because he was placed on the COVID reserve list. Meanwhile, Browns are still fighting for a wild card spot and could jump into second place in the division if, dare I say, the Ravens lose to the Titans. Some history now. Browns are 0-5 against the Eagles since returning to the NFL in 1999. Can you believe this? The only team they haven't beaten since returning is Philadelphia. The last Browns win against the Eagles came in 1994. 1994, Bart. You know who was coaching the team back then?
Bill Belichick.
That would be correct. And there was no snap face. There was no Insta chat. Mark Rippon, by the way, was the starting quarterback, in case you're wondering. So, blitz and prevent. Our beloved Anthony Pusick will not admit this, but he and many other Giants fans will be watching this game and rooting hard for the Browns. Actually, we all are. Just to see the NFC East in complete chaos. Aren't you? Aren't you rooting for this?
And, I mean, you think about last week, Nick Chubb coming back, all he did was rush for well over 100 yards. Kareem Hunt rushed for over 100 yards. And Baker Mayfield didn't have to do much. This is a tale of two quarterbacks that have become question marks for their organization. Now, you think about Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is tied in. He's locked in as a quarterback as he got his contract. But, you know, the Browns still have to make a decision of if they're going to pick up the option for Baker Mayfield. And I think right now the answer is no. And I think a lot of this is dependent on if he can get in the playoffs and if he can do something. Because you talk about, you know, the race for the wild card, you got the Raiders there as well, but you got the Ravens as well, and those 7 teams are going to go, so you're going to get 4 from each one. If the Ravens and the Raiders get it, then it only leaves one spot potentially for the Cleveland Browns or the Indianapolis Colts. Because you think, or the Tennessee Titans. So listen, you can have a 10-win season and not be in the playoffs when they have expanded playoffs.
You better wrap it up.
So that's what we have to worry about. Which is hilarious because you could have a 10-win team in the AFC and not make the playoffs.
And a
just slappy 6-win team out of the NFC East take the division. That's what makes this game so interesting. And again, if you're a Giants fan, you're not going to want to admit it. No, I don't care. I don't care. You care. A little bit of you is going to be watching going, huh, wait, there is a chance. And by the way, Washington's playing. They could win. Dallas also is playing. So this thing could get real interesting and just be a complete disaster. And I'm certainly here for it. Before we do audio files, let's grab a couple of calls. We got people that have waited on hold for a while. Let's go with, Chris in Bayville has been on a bit. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
What's up, Chris?
How you doing? How you doing, Bart? I hope everybody's having a great day. I want to talk to you real quick about a pickup the Knicks did, which I'm really happy about. I don't know if you're familiar with the name Miles Powell out of my alma mater.
Stop one second. Did you just call this show and ask Allen Hine if he was familiar with anybody that dribbles a basketball?
Alan,
you better know him. Alan, you better.
Did you listen yesterday? Because we did talk about it extensively.
I missed it. I'm sorry, but I got so excited for the
game. I tell you what, Chris. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you get one mulligan, hang up, go right to the app, find the podcast, listen to it, and then you can call back and tell me what you think about what I said. Love it.
That's
how we do it here. John in Queens. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, happy Friday. I'm super positive about the Knicks, and I just want to put something in perspective for you real quick. Mm-hmm. So my first childhood memories come when I was 7, and I can remember Allen Houston hitting the quote-unquote running jumper, Larry Johnson's four-point play. And then
Stop right there. You stop right there. Yeah. You were 7 years old in 1999?
I was 7 years old in 1999. Those are my first childhood memories, you know? So I call you guys every day that I can, and I get on with you guys. But for 22 years since, I've watched us trade in no particular order. We traded for Eddie Curry, Jamal Crawford, Steve Francis, Marbury and Penny Hardaway, Carmelo, McDice, mm-hmm. Bargnani. Mm-hmm. Right? So we can dissect all of those and why they were all terrible,
yeah, I'd rather
right?
not.
Right. So that being said, when was the last time the Knicks didn't make a sexy trade, you know? When was the last time that you saw the Knicks win a trade? Ever since the Marcus Morris deal, we've won 3 trades in a row now, you know? So now we're taking on dead contracts.
The main thing here, John, is that, you know, as you're going through the history of bad, you know, bad moves that were made, you got to understand these are all different people. Like, it's not the same guy, same people running the organization making these trades. So,
correct.
You know, you can't, like, I'm with you. Like, I look at the same thing. Like, I keep saying, prioritize a point guard, please, because that hasn't happened in a very, very, very long time. When was the last time a Knick point guard started consecutive seasons, was the majority starter for consecutive seasons? So let's get one. But I don't know how you get one because there aren't many available. You know, and you're talking about, I know you were trying to do, you were trying to tell me how positive you are about the moves that you're seeing being made over the last, there hasn't been many, but I guess you're talking about the Ed Davis trade. You know, Marcus Morris, yeah, you know, you got a first-round pick for it, and that pick eventually turned into Emmanuel Quickley, who's, you know, a combo guard from Kentucky that you hopefully will become something that is useful in your rotation. So you're feeling good about it. It's great. But just like I said, I'm sorry I'm going to be the wet blanket. You have $40 million in cap space to spend. There's really not a lot out there for you to get. So I don't want you to start expecting something amazing. Anthony Davis is staying with the Lakers.
So tell me this.
Gordon Hayward wants to go to the Pacers. He doesn't like the Knicks are a good leverage for him, but he wants to go to the Pacers.
Or the Nuggets, maybe?
Well, the Pacers.
Okay.
So, you know, like, there's not a lot out there. So just wait and see. And the Russell Westbrook stuff, as I told you, we talked a lot about it a week and 2 weeks ago about how it's a possibility things could happen. Then then it became like close to reality. Kick the tires. It's not a front burner thing anymore. It's just not. So I know everybody's waiting for like this day where it's like, oh my God, the Knicks just got like 3 All-Stars. It's not happening.
Can I ask you something, Alan?
Yeah. Okay,
what's the play? So let's just say they stay put, right? They find some serviceable point guard, whatever. Is the play to wait during the trade deadline for somebody that's not going to be, you know, like their future? I wouldn't say like a DeMar DeRozan or anybody like that, but I'm just saying somebody that's disgruntled and maybe trade for them or absorb their contract and try and maybe get a star that's disgruntled. So yeah, is that the best play?
Set up for that. I'll tell you what, it's a great question, Bar, and the best way I can answer it is this way. Is what you want to do, because everybody made a big deal about how this draft, it became like, a CAA guy and a Kentucky guy. Okay, fine. If that's going to be the MO, fine. But if that's the case, then every CAA client and every Kentucky player who, you know, might want to move on from their situation, who's a star, if you don't know about it, right, that you, if anyone should know what could be coming from anyone who's either a CAA client or a Kentucky player, the Knicks should know because of their relationships, right? So use them to your advantage. So those who bring, like De'Aaron Fox, is his future, is he for long in Sacramento? Or would they be looking to trade him? Is he looking to get out of there? You should know. He's a Kentucky guy. I think the relationship's pretty much entrenched there. You would know about that. So that's what you're hoping, is that if somebody along those lines is ready to make a move, but it's not this weekend, maybe it's not till, like you said, the trade deadline, you have to have assets in place to make that move. You have to have the patience to make that move. So I'm just saying, you want to mock the relationship, go ahead, because it is kind of funny that it's all they do is a Kentucky guy or a CAA guy. Well, that's fine. But now I want to see, use it to your advantage. So let's just keep an eye on this. Keep an eye on whoever might be somebody who's a CAA client or a Kentucky product, and they're not happy in their situation and they're a star player.
Fox.
And if there's somebody like that and they're ready to move on, well, there you go. That's the move you need to be prepared for, and that's what you do. You collect some assets, you keep your cap space flexible, and you get ready. If you're asking me, what are you looking for? That's what I'm looking for. I want to see the move that no one saw coming, but they knew about because of their intel and their relationships. Then you'll get that high-pitched, excited voice, like when I'm talking about one of my winning teams, which is, never. When I'm excited talking about the Islanders when they got to the conference final. How about that? All right, let's get to quickly to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, Bart. So last night, you know what showed up last night for the Seahawks? Defense.
Ooh, they were the Legion. They ain't had no boom.
A little bit of boom. A little bit of boom last night. And they get the win 28-21 over the Cardinals Thursday Night Football. So their defense against a really good offense and Kyler Murray and obviously the Cardinals, they held up against them. Pete Carroll talked about his beleaguered defense.
It felt like the Seahawks, you know. It felt like the Seahawks that we've all seen over the years. Carlos did a great job tonight. He did exactly what we needed. We needed him to run hard and run tough, knock people backwards and make extra yards with you know, his juice. And the guys up front responded with him. You know, I don't know, we had 80 yards or something like that. That was a really good contribution to this effort tonight. And it balanced us out, just like we talked about. Russ didn't have to throw for 400 yards to have a big night. He had a big night throwing for, you know, just under 200.
Hold up. He said Carlos, but I thought he was talking about the star to get the day was to Carlos. Was Carlos Dunlap? That was the Carlos I was talking about.
He was my Carlos Hyde, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, baby.
You see the one play where they did get the easy touchdown because Jamal got sucked in again?
Yeah. He's looking at Kyler Murray.
Like, how many times when you were a Jets fan did you watch Jamal, like, just kind of cheat in? The quarterback saw it and just completely exposed
him. Too often. He was looking at Murray and he had a cross route behind him and threw it right over his head. And but I tell you what, Carlos Dunlap, and it's funny because I don't know if you guys realize, but I saw a sighting that I hadn't saw in a long time.
Oh.
But it looked like my man ate a whole baby. You know, I'm looking at snacks and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if highlighter green is your color, dude. That is just accentuating, you know, the big boiler on your tum-tum.
Oh my God. All right, moving on. So Andy Dalton has been through some stuff, right? He had a concussion. There's probably not a lot you remember from having a concussion. But he also was on the reserve COVID-19 list and had to deal with that. And he talked about what that experience was dealing with COVID.
COVID, you know, it hit me hard the first day that I had it, and then it gradually started feeling better. And then by the end of it, I was ready to get out of quarantine and get back up here.
Well, he's got to get back to it, right? Like, you really want to see what... I mean, dude, Dallas wins one game, and they could win against Minnesota. If one game, and then all of a sudden, they've got three wins, and in that division... No? Am I wasting my time here?
Man, I don't know. This division's crazy, man. Who you got?
Like, you have no energy at all for this, so I'm just going to move on to the very next thing, and that isn't the basketball side of things. So we were just talking with your callers. We got a lot of callers talking with everybody about the Knicks and their plans as free agency begins at 6 o'clock today. So why not go to the expert, the man, Woj, on SportsCenter. So what are the Knicks' plans, Woj?
Well, it's not for Kyrie and KD. They tried that one.
Yes.
What it is in the short term, it's a way, you know, they can take money. Today we reported Ed Davis from the Jazz comes with 2 second-round picks. The Jazz are getting some money off to do some other things in free agency. And so, you know, I think for the Knicks, it's a chance to gather up draft picks by taking on salaries. They can take a flyer at a guy like Gordon Hayward. What they're trying to do are gather assets, picks, and so that when the next big player becomes available in a trade, maybe next year, they're in position to have more assets to be able to go out and get that player. They don't have the assets to trade for a big star, and then obviously with the space come trying to get back in the free agent.
Does that sound familiar, Bart?
Yeah, it sounds real familiar.
Because
you've been reading your Cliff Notes.
Well, no, it's just, but that's the common knowledge, I guess. But it's, here's the point, is you have to look at the last couple of years and how many times a star became available. And as much as people want to mock the Knicks and mock, you know, the idea of nobody wants to come there, how many, like, Kawhi Leonard wanted to trade from San Antonio. One of the teams on his list was...
Knicks.
Yeah. Okay, so Kyrie Irving wanted out of Cleveland. One of the teams on his list was?
Knicks.
Anthony Davis wanted out of New Orleans. One of the teams on his list was?
Knicks.
Right. What is the problem with those names that I just gave you and why the Knicks didn't get those players?
Nobody came and they didn't seem like they were competent enough.
They didn't have anything. They had no assets. Cool. They didn't have anything to give you. They had nothing to offer. That's the problem. Star players became available. They all said, love to come to New York. Play for the Knicks, sure. And then the problem was, they had nothing to offer. So other teams swooped in and got those players, and you didn't. So, how do you fix that problem? You gather your assets, and you wait. Just like Woj said, you just wait in the weeds for that next player. And I'm telling you, the added piece to this is the relationship factor. You have an agent who represented some of the biggest name in the sport who's now running your franchise. You have his right-hand man in World Wide West who knows every player in the league. He's got his ear to the he knows everything going on in the league. He knows all the gossip. You have that guy. So you have that going on. They should know. You have a guy on your coaching staff, Kenny Payne, who was at Kentucky. 31 players in the league played at Kentucky. Like, so he knows all these dudes. So if somebody's like, you know what, I'm itching to get out, you would hope one of those three guys knows. And if that's the case, you build up your assets, you get yourself ready, and when it's time to pounce, you pounce.
So in 2 years,
that's the smart move that no one's seeing, and none of us will know what's going to happen. But I don't want us to know. I want them to know.
So then I will feel good about the future.
So you're waiting for, like, you know, like, talk about laying in the woods, like maybe the Phoenix Suns is able to, you know, make a trade and get Chris Paul to kind of maybe be a finishing piece for some young players and talent that they've been acquiring for a while.
No, I'm not even talking about that. Everybody knew Chris Paul was going to get moved. I'm talking about you didn't know that, like I said, and I'm just, this is just a hypothetical. 6 o'clock today is when the Utah Jazz can say to Donovan Mitchell, here's your max extension, go ahead and sign it. What if they already know that Donovan Mitchell is going to say to them, I'm all set. I'd rather test free agency. I don't think, I'm not sure about long term here. I don't know if I'm comfortable here. Whatever it is, right? We got an ownership change. You say whatever you want. Let's just say he's going to do that. They know this already and now are just preparing to make that move. I'd rather they know stuff like that. You know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, or he's not happy. They just drafted maybe his replacement and he just says to them, you know what? Why would you, I'd rather get out of here. I'm not going to sign your extension when you offer it to me next year. So let's part ways. Maybe they already know that. That's what I want them to know. I don't want anybody else to know about it but them. And we see it. We don't see it coming. That's what I want to see. So we'll see if it happens. All right. Lastly, because I tease this, we got to pay it off. So the other big rumor is, of course, what the Nets are going to do is they're building up this team now around two stars in Kyrie and KD. But the belief is that as James Harden wants out of Houston and has made it pretty clear he has no interest in the future with Houston, that the Nets are in hot pursuit of getting James Harden. Now, the Philly would love to get involved. The Sixers would like to get involved in that, too, because, as we know, Daryl Morey is there now in Philly. So the belief is the Nets can offer players that they have that are current players like LeVert, Dinwiddie, and whatever they want when it comes to draft picks because they're all about win now. And if you add James Harden, the Nets become the favorite to win the in the East to win the championship. If you ask me, favorite. By far. They might even be the favorite in the league. So with that in mind, the feeling is Nets are all in. Whatever it takes, they want to get this guy. It's a matter of time. Sean Marks talked to the media this morning. And he kind of pumped the brakes on that belief. Take a listen to this.
I think that's such an important aspect of this where, you know, our culture is important. Getting this group prepared in such a short time, like you mentioned. So I do think, you know, it's the, I don't know if it's the ugly part of the business, the strange part of the business, the awkward part. And I think it needs to be discussed. And, you know, I've talked to several of our players about this and just said, look, forget the rumors. Let's just go out there and concentrate on what we have at hand, and which is the group that's here. And, you know, I would be, you know, I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said, look, nothing's ever going to happen. And at the same time, they understand that this is a business and let's be prepared. And, you know, I sincerely mean it when, look, I like this group that we have. You know, the group's been together for a while now, and we continue to add some pieces to it. So, you know, training camp is going to be competitive, and it's going to be fun with the group we have. And if things change, things change. Yeah, but yeah, look, I think you have to have those honest conversations, you know, with players as it goes, and not let the rumors sort of just, you know, simmer in the background.
All right, BS translator, what did he say for real?
It's tough, man. He's talking about transparency, talking about, you know, letting his team know what the anticipation, what it is. But with that being said, if you're Dinwiddie or LeVert, how are you feeling? You want to have a different conversation with everybody, the management, saying, hey, you guys not value me. I was one of the players that were here to help build this foundation. You get to say, I don't get to see it go across the finish line. You know what I'm saying? Are you saying that, you know, this is what they want? So this can create some fraction to me between KD, between Nash, between D'Antoni, and the others, right? Because it seems like on one side you have KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan. They make all the rules over here, and then everybody else be damned. We'll let you know. It's like feeling like Kuzman and feeling like Lonzo Ball, and
yeah, you're just looking across the room. How do you have camaraderie if you're feeling like, you know, these guys can't wait to get me out of here to get their guy in here? So how do I really buy in when I know deep down you want me out of here?
Right. So what's that record going to look
like? They've got to be real careful with that. It's very delicate for a big word that they have, which is culture there. So it's worth watching. I think you made it clear. If they can't get him before training camp, I think they're going to have to wait.
Yeah, because if it falls through, Alan, if it falls through, now you're stuck with the guys you got. It's like, oh, now y'all want us? Oh, now you care about me? And then they start getting their own packs and start sharing about themselves and saying, man, man, forget Kyrie. And then you talk about all the chemistry that you made. And once again, Kyrie Irving will be responsible for damaging the culture of a great organization and a great team by messing it up and saying that the earth is flat.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but we'll see.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Bart, we only have 2 minutes here.
Let's do it.
We got to be quick. And this quick segment is driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence. Take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See a Lexus dealer. Picks, here we go. All right, you and I both together. Jets, Chargers. Chargers are favored by 9.5. I don't care. It's in L.A. I'm going with the Chargers. I'm going to lay the 9.5. You?
I'm taking Chargers, but I guarantee you that I'm wrong because I think that, you know, they're going to find a way to win it because I feel crazy about it, but I'm going to go with the Chargers too. Reverse psychology.
Okay, go reverse psychology. All right. One of the games that we're both taking the same game, and that's the Falcons-Saints game. Now, again, it's Taysom Hill, a quarterback, and apparently Winston's not even going to be part of anything they do. You're suggesting they're just going to go opener with it and be crafty. I'm buying into that Sean Payton's got something up his sleeve and he knows something about the Falcons that they can't handle whatever he's going to do with Taysom Hill. So I'm taking the Saints and I'm giving it 3.5. What are you doing?
I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons because I think they've been one of the most explosive offenses in the league. If you look at Matt Ryan, he's on the top of everybody's list as far as, you know, offensive productivity. And I know they're going to try and bully ball them, but I believe in Keanu Neal. We share the same agent. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a New York Jet next year anyway. By the way, he's one of the hard-hitting safeties. He was Jamal Adams before Jamal Adams.
Quickly.
If anybody remember what he did in the Super Bowl, I'm taking Atlanta straight up, outright. Right. So it's going to be some pressure and some smoke in the NFC South.
All right, 10 seconds to make this last pick. My game is going to be, I'm taking Minnesota over Dallas. Minnesota's laying 7. I don't care. Dallas off a bye. I don't care. The numbers tell me to go against Dallas. I'm doing it.
Quick. Colts over Green Bay. Mic drop, set, match.
Wow. Colts over Green Bay. There you go.
Well, we can't wait.
Remember, watch Bart on Sunday and see how miserable he is. Oh, no. You're always looking good, though. Great week as always, Bart, and we'll see what happens to the Knicks with free agency. I'll see you on Monday.
Ahala.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.